We are on Elevate Today podcast, where we elevate one podcast at a time. Today's episode is actually very special to me because we're going to be talking about 11 things that I've learned from being 21, or we can say 11 things that I've learned over the 22 years, but I'm actually going to put an emphasis on what I learned specifically this year and talk about some realistic tips that you can apply to your life, just because I took some time and really thought about the lessons that I've been told, that I've been taught, that I've experienced through people, experienced through the hard way, to help me to continue to elevate this year. So that's all this journey on life. It's just about getting better every single day, constantly growing, constantly learning, constantly helping and loving those around you, healing your own heart and helping others get on the journey to heal theirs. So we are going to talk about what I learned this year. I'm officially an official in it kind of adult, 22 years old. So we're doing 11 lessons I learned from being 21. I'm going to need my phone for this one. It's just too many to memorize. And yeah. So, all right. Lesson number one is pretty true, pretty fun. It's high risk, high reward. So being 21, you have this new freedom of opportunity, of like being able to drink, of being seen as an adult. You know, you can just like literally do whatever you want. And something that helps with that is there's not a lot of things that you can't do. Therefore, you should do as much as you can. High risk, high reward is a very true principle, because if you end up trying something kind of crazy and it goes bad and you fail, it doesn't go how you want it, how you handle that defeat, how you handle that loss does grow you as a person, and it gives you that ability to take risks. You want to maintain the ability to take risks, to go into unknown situations, to establish an opinion on different things, especially as you're a young adult. You want to have experience, perspective on the different kinds of things you do. And the only way you do that is by just going after it, just saying yes to everything. Because when you're 40 years old, when you have a family, when you have a husband, when you have a wife, whatever, you know, being older comes with, you can't like do something, for lack of a better word, dumb because you want to, because you wanted experience. You kind of have to be responsible and mature. Therefore, this window of being a younger 20-year-old is like, okay, you have the freedom, you have the ability to be resilient and get back up, so take a lot of risks. Number two is, okay, this one is about people. In your younger 20s, you literally should do your best to learn and understand every type of people, because no matter what realm, what industry you go into, you're always going to be dealing with people of different types, of different backgrounds, and you're winning if you can understand them. If you can realize that people that are different from you aren't bad, from people that are raised different from you aren't bad. Like, the differences between humans are what make us special, are what make us should make us interested in each other. Therefore, like, this is also the age when people are dating more and people are going out more in social situations. Press into those conversations that can teach you about someone so different than you. And when you do that, you can realize, like, we're all heart, we're all one, we're all a concoction of soul, spirit, mind, body, trauma, how we're raised, our environment. And so once you understand people, you can like be better at sales. You can be better at relationships. You can be better at connecting with anyone. And if you can connect with anyone, this world is truly a beautiful place. It's somewhere where you can feel safe. It's somewhere where you can know what you have to do. It's somewhere where you can learn to establish boundaries because of unfortunate situations you put yourself in your younger 20s, where you realize, oh, okay, not everyone is trustworthy, or you learned how to just establish a gut feeling when you're around certain people because you've exposed yourself to so many type of people. And I'm trying to do that now. It's just fascinating because I like my routine. However, I've done a lot in my life to understand a lot of people, but there's just so much more to understand. Never stop seeking to understand humans. You never know their story. You've never walked their shoes. Before you judge or hate in any form, in any capacity, realize that they've lived a whole life you could never understand. And most of the time, a lot of the actions that people do make sense because of what they've been through. It's just a puzzle piece. And it doesn't justify wrong behavior, but it does make you like, oh, well, that makes sense. I understand you. I feel you. Like, and that brings out better, deeper conversations. Number three, money is a societal principle, a law. Like, being around different groups of people, I've heard a lot of money doesn't matter. It's not all that matters. It shouldn't be where your focus is. But in my opinion, money should 100% be where your focus is. Like, I don't think that anything else really matters, because I do think a lot of things really matter, but if your finances are not in order, a lot of different areas of your life can really get effed up. Like, you know, if you don't have finances because you didn't really want to focus on that and you're in a relationship, all of a sudden this relationship is getting damaged from financial, like lack of knowledge financially. If you have a house, but you're just wanting to work one job and take care of it that way, like, you don't know what the future could hold when it comes to finances, because money rules are constantly changing and evolving. And now there's just trippy technology. And so I think one of the best things you can do is get out of your mind that money doesn't matter. It shouldn't be where your focus is. It should just be like, oh no, like, I want to be good at it. Just like I want to be a good athlete, I want to be a good communicator, I want to be good with money. It should be everyone's like normal. Just be good at money because you can help more people. You can do more. You have the freedom to do what you have to do. You can alleviate pressure in different areas of your life simply by having the freedom to do what you need to do. It sucks when you want to help someone and you can't because of financial problems. It sucks when you see a need and you know you could take away so much stress and pressure from someone's life, but you can't help them because you didn't set yourself up. Everyone's going to learn the money game at different times. It's just one of the best lessons to learn quicker. Like, stay out of debt. Like, figure out the best ways to pay off your credit cards as soon as possible. The younger you figure this out, the better your 30s could be, your 40s could be, your 50s could be. And just make it an interest to learn about it, because everyone's going through it financially and finding their own strategies. Therefore, everyone's talking about it. Everyone's kind of in the game. If you start talking about it with people, you'll be surprised how there's a lot of opinions out there and people want to talk about it because it's good. It's good to express and figure out and realize that we're all trying to make money in the best way possible to have freedom to live life and help people and do what we want to do. Don't buy into the lie that money does not matter. Money doesn't matter when you have enough for it to not matter. But if you believe that money doesn't matter and you don't have any, you're going to realize, oh crap, I actually can't do what I need to do. Especially if you're in California, if you're in America, and then being given the opportunity to help others in a greater capacity, it's like, oh shoot, I'm glad I figured this out. I don't want to have to say no to helping someone ever. It's the most generous thing you can do is have money to help others and your loved ones. Number four, and this one's a little fascinating one, but I think that it is a hack of your younger 20s, unless it's something you've done when you were younger, but is spend time with children. I think that spending time with children can be one of the fastest ways to ground your soul and bring you back to a healthy reality of what life is all about. I believe that children are the closest thing to angels sometimes, like especially when they're maybe like really little and they don't talk, because like when they're two or three, they're a bit crazy. But something about children brings us back to our core of the obligation we have as human beings to look out for each other. So it's in our genetic makeup to look after a child. Like, whether it's yours or not, there's something in you that actually has the capacity. As a man, you're going to want to protect the child. You're going to want to make sure the child doesn't get harmed. You're going to want to teach the child lessons once they're old enough. As a woman, you're going to want to nurture and love and comfort and encourage, two different roles, but you don't got to wait till the child is yours. Once you can tap into that as a young adult, it's going to be something that keeps you from going numb, because once you're going through hard stuff and you connect with a child, it does something to you. And we see this all the time when in movies and then a child comes and they're just like mind blown at it. Or when I'm going through hard times, I go see my nephew and literally I forget about the pain that I'm feeling, the struggle that I'm going through, because my little nephew, he just takes it all away. Like, he makes me realize, this little baby that talks more now but can't really talk, he's just a little moving figure that will give me love and attention if I give him love and attention, and it simplifies life. And now he's older, so like the joy is even greater because I get to teach him things sometimes. I get to like just teach him words, lessons, what not to do, you know, what's right, what's wrong. And having those moments with him are so simple, but it's like, I want him to be around the best kind of people. I want him protected. I want him to be wise and all this stuff. But that's just from watching a child. And I think that once you're around children, it's like, it increases your value. It increases your value, one, because in relationships, it's kind of like one of the most beautiful things when the person that you are into or in love with or attracted to are good with children. It's like the most beautiful thing in the world. I think that goes for guys and girls. For the sense of not letting your soul go numb, if you're able to connect with a child, it'll heal you from the inside out. I've heard multiple stories of people whose lives were terrible and a child was able to get them out of that hard time. The child doesn't have to be yours. That's all I'm saying. And that's why you should get around children now, because as soon as a child does come in your life and it's yours, you want to make sure you're not like, I don't know how to connect with this little thing. Because there's no greater time for the children to need us. And then the other reason why I think it's important to know how to connect with children is because I believe that there is a war against children, against the minds of children, against their safety, against their identity, against so many things. And no one can fight this fight. Like, no one really knows how. That's why we just need to be in the children's life and like figure out the strategic way to fight this fight. But, you know, like there's a lot of kids without fathers, kids without mothers, and even children that don't have parents in different systems, foster, adoption, that go so unrecognized. So the pain that they have to deal with is heartbreaking because they've never had a figure in their life that could smother them with an unconditional amount of love. And we think that it takes all this time to do that. We think it takes all this money, but it just takes some intentionality. Anytime you have access to a child, don't underestimate the influence you can have in their life, because children, they receive love very well, very quickly. So I can go into this one for a long time because I believe that children help us more than we help them sometimes. They teach us so many things in life, and that's why those that have children around, homes that have children around, are the most joyful places to be. 5 is live out today as much as you can. That's something I used to say a lot, is your life is now as much as it's ever going to be. And if you're someone that's like a performer or super ambitious or always thinking about your goals, then it's easy to only think about your future. It's really easy to lose track of the moment and not be present with those you need to be present with, because you're just so focused and driven on what you have to accomplish in 10 years. But remember that how you're going to feel, the life you're going to live in 10 years, is the same life that you're living right now. Like, don't lose out on any opportunity to be fully present and to let your soul do what your soul does best and connect with right now. Because there's a way to be present and be happy with exactly where you are and get what you have to get done in order to set you up for your future. But if you don't know how to enjoy your life and enjoy yourself and enjoy those around you right now, then in 10 years when you have everything that you have accomplished, you'll realize, dang, I did it, but for what? For who? For the enjoyment of who? Like, I don't even know how to make myself happy. Therefore, it should be a constant practice to connect with nature, to have a friend that you see maybe once a week and you just tap out of work and just zone in and be present. And maybe this lesson doesn't apply to you because you're always present. In that case, You got to work. You got to show up. Think about your future. But remember that life is right now. And to find a few things in your life that make you lose track of time. Ooh, yes. So believe in something greater than yourself. That is number six. Believing in something greater than yourself will get you out of the most difficult situations. And I think young 20s is this like beautiful balance between life hasn't hit you that hard yet and like you're getting a taste of reality. And everyone has different backgrounds. Again, I'm very mindful that I was raised differently than a lot of others, but when you're 20 is when, like, if you were maybe a little bit more sheltered, you're realizing, oh wow, it's a cold world out there. People are harsh, people are bitter. And then if you're someone who's already like had that belief system, now it's like, okay, do I want to live out my own adult life believing that everyone's a bad guy because of what I've seen, because I've had trust issues? Therefore, it's important to believe in something greater than yourself, to have hope, to have faith. I believe in God, and there's been moments where I've been faced with challenge, and in my eyes, I failed because I didn't know how to tap into my faith when I really needed to. And that is why it's important to continually be knowing how to connect with your spirit, to make your spirit come alive. Know how to get into nature and connect to God, whoever the one is that gives you that power and alive source of love, unconditional love, and energy and hope. And for me, that's God. So learn how to connect with that. So when you go through a breakup, when you go through losing a loved one, when you go through financial issues, having to move, drama, backstabbing, whatever you face, you can go back to this peaceful state of peace where you can be like, you know what? I know that this is all for something greater than what I'm going through. And to tie along a story with that, I had the opportunity to share my story and some things that I've been through with like a ministry group, and basically how someone in my life, I was like going through a lot of troubles, and I expressed what those troubles were, and someone in my life got me out of that. And I got to tell my story to about like 400 people in a high school. And I remember this one girl, she came up to me and she was like, oh my gosh, I've never heard someone struggle through exactly what I'm struggling through right now. And you just given me so much hope and so much faith that things can get better. And I just did what I was told to do. I told my story in hopes that I could help someone, and it did. But it was that moment where I realized, like, no matter what I've been through and no matter what I go through, my story is pointless unless it helps someone else. And so that can go for you too. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you've gone through, your story could help someone else. And until you face that moment where someone looks at you in the eyes and says, dang, I had no idea I could relate to someone so much, like, you're giving me hope to get better. Until you have that moment, you just got to keep having your own hope, knowing that your story can change lives. You have to believe that God allowed certain things to happen to you in order for you to give perspective to someone else. And sometimes I think, like, some of the stupid things that I've done, the things that I've gone through, I'm like, you know what? It's all going to be worth it if I could really give some effective advice to my child when they go through their struggle, or to my nephew, to my niece, because everything does have a purpose. And that's exactly why it's important to believe in something greater than yourself, so you can believe that everything happens for a reason. There's no reason to hate God for things he's put you through, because you don't know where he's going to take you. So that one is a go-to. Don't lose faith ever, ever, ever. This is a me thing. I don't know if this could apply to every young 20-year-old. Actually, it has to. It can. Okay, so this is number eight. No, this is number seven. It is, think about what skills you can provide in a survival circumstance. So now that the world is crazy, we've seen what 2 years of chaos looks like, and we've seen different communities thrive and be affected by it. And there's been observation that, like, the Amish community does really well during COVID because they aren't affected by businesses closing. They're a self-sustained community of people. So therefore, I've been thinking about like survival and what to do in the worst case scenario. So therefore, think about what skills that you could provide in a survival circumstance. So as a female, I know that I want to be able to just take care of the children and teach the women how to fight. That's something that I want to be able to do if we ever face those survival circumstances. I want to know how to be aggressive enough to protect the kids and protect the women in the women community. But I also would like my primary role to be around the children. So for a guy, you should want to be like the one that knows how to use weapons properly, the one that knows how to fight, that can fight against harm, that could literally farm, that can grow crops, that can take care of animals, like stuff like that. And right now it's like, know how to change a tire, know how to fix the toilet, know how to change the blinds. Like those are really good skills. But in survival circumstances, you want to have a few skills that you can contribute if the worst of the worst happens, which in Jesus' name it won't, but anything can happen. I know that unfortunately I won't be able to contribute at all to plants. It's never clicked, but I can contribute to very properly taking care of a child and giving women the very basics to protect the children in case the men just can't. But that's literally my form of thinking. Even knowing like health enough to provide in those kind of survival circumstances so that your tribe can thrive the longest, live the longest, no matter what happens. This is one of the things that I've been implementing in my life the past 4 months, and this is tip number 8. Have a task list, a priority list, and what you want out of life. This has helped me so much with being able to be present and enjoy my life, but also accomplish what I need to accomplish. So what I'll do is I'll create a task list just like I did on my phone. And I'll do like the check mark feature where you literally can press it and a check mark shows up. So I'll do that and write everything that I have to do for that day. And I'll either make it a non-negotiable thing, like you have to get this done, or if I don't do like 3 things, then I'll just make that my priority for the next day. So that really helps me not get overwhelmed when I can be like, oh, one thing at a time. And then at the end of the day, look at it all being done. It helps me feel productive throughout the day. So if I do slack off and get lost in the moment, then I can feel okay with myself because I know I did half of what I had to do. Not only have the other half once I'm done goofing off or being present. So I have my task list, my priority list, and that priority list is literally, okay, what in this month and what in this year is a priority to me? And the reason why I do this is because naturally your priority list will get mixed up. You'll literally like just do whatever the heck you want in the day, and that's just because you just get lost in the moment, which is good. That's life. But for me, I'm like, okay, my job, that's a big priority. Providing sea moss for people, big priority. Training my clients, these are priorities. And since I've started jiu-jitsu, all of a sudden, jiu-jitsu is like my number one priority. And I had to have this realization where I'm like, Hannah, jiu-jitsu is not a priority for you on top of these primary things, even this podcast. Like, you need to show up for your things first before you do your fun hobby. And that's like kind of been sucky for me to realize, but it keeps me back to this, oh, okay, priorities, bam, 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 bam. We have our tasks, we have our priorities, and what I want out of life. What I want out of life is to do what I love and have the freedom to do that and help the next generation. So therefore, that, like, knowing my mission and my purpose in life helps me know what kind of priorities I'm going to have throughout that season of my life. And then the tasks help the days not be overwhelming. Speak your truth. I think that that's something we get away with also when you're in your young 20s, because the 48 laws of power says that don't talk more than you have to. And I'm like, that's ironic because I talk more than I have to every single day of my life, every time I'm with someone and I have a podcast. So that law from the 48 laws of power just doesn't apply to me. But I'm also like, well, this is a season of my life. I can imagine being 34 years old thinking like, Hannah, your words are valuable. Don't talk more than you have to. I can imagine myself even naturally growing up to that state of life. But right now, I'm young, therefore there is like a certain amount of grace over the words that I speak. But remember that life and death are at the power of the tongue. So you never want to use your words to speak death over anyone, to speak poison over anyone, especially yourself. Do not ever speak negatively or say terrible things to yourself, even if you're joking, even if you're saying it to someone else, because your subconscious doesn't know the difference. If you were like looking in the mirror and you're like, oh God, do I really look that? I'm really that effing ugly. Then your subconscious is going to hear, I am ugly. I am effing ugly. God messed up when he made me. What that is going to do to your brain on a subconscious level is kind of make you start hating yourself. And if you hate yourself, then it's really hard for you to love others. And if you don't love others, you're eventually just going to be poisonous to others, be poisonous to yourself. And those that take that route are usually the ones that cause harm to society. And all it starts off with is those subconscious programming that you did to yourself, that maybe you had a parent speaking terrible things over you all the time, maybe a sibling, maybe a bully. But speak life over yourself. But my whole point in this is speaking truth. Always speak your truth. So speak truth to yourself and how you think, but also learn how to express yourself. Learn how to have an opinion on something, properly express your opinion, and properly be debated back. Learn how to fight for your own truth in the most peaceful way possible, to be classy about it, to have your stubborn values and beliefs, but not impose them on people to where they feel uncomfortable and hated, but like, oh, okay, I understand why you think that way. That is a beautiful trait. And also, right now, I think that everyone is so scared to offend someone else that people's mouths are glued shut. No one really expresses their true values unless it's something predictable by the media and somewhat trendy. If you really think about it, people don't express their values unless it's trendy. And I went to Europe, and Europe is kind of doing what America is in the process of doing to us. In Europe, it's already like an established thing. And I'm sorry, when I say Europe, I will say specifically Scandinavia. So I was in Norway and Sweden, and they're both the same. They are all about like maintaining peace, so not really sharing your opinion, therefore talking about like different like religion, values, principles, politics, perspectives on schools and stuff like that. It's not much of a thing because in their eyes, it's not a peaceful conversation, but therefore they kind of lose their freedom of speech to express themselves. And that's something that, in my opinion, we're getting less and less of, because you post something that they don't like, they can delete it, and that's just crazy. Or you could say something and literally get taken, arrested for that kind of thing, you know? And it's like, you want to speak life, but you also want to know how to speak your truth. You want to learn how to like have respectful discussions and debates and learn and to admit when you're wrong after you speak what was true to you. And that's a beautiful thing. Oh, I think this. Actually, you know what? I think I could agree with that. I could change my mind. You have the freedom to change your mind, but you need to develop your ability to speak your truth. Don't just be a gecko. Don't be a gecko. I don't know. The name of the frog that camouflages itself. Guess that's not going to be a main point. Don't camouflage yourself and just echo what people say. Be strong in your own words and be true to yourself. Speak your truth, because that will filter out the people that don't like your truth, and it'll attract the people that are interested in your truth or agree with your truth. Either way, you want to be around people where you can just express yourself. You want to be around people where you could have an opinion from a very genuine heart space and not feel attacked or made fun of for it. That is a big red flag when it comes to making friends, if they don't like let you express yourself. Be a student to everyone and everything. I'm serious when I say children have taught me so much. I don't let the whole, they're a baby, they're little, they could barely talk, you know, get to me. It's like, this is a soul that has literally been in heaven way sooner than I have, like, or most more recently than I have. Therefore, this little thing has so many like lessons of energy, of aura, of love that I could learn from. You can learn from everything and anything. Therefore, do a lot of things, talk to a lot of people, have a lot of experiences so you can learn. And like even intentionally place people in your life to teach you things. Like, don't let age get to your head. Don't let anything get to your head. Don't let age, don't let gender, don't let ethnicity, don't let anything hold you back from learning from someone. If someone knows something that you want to learn and you're willing to make it a win-win situation in some capacity, you should tell people, I want to know how you did that. How did you do that? It could be a 10-minute conversation or it could be your new mentor. You just don't know. And that's why you should speak your truth, because you also learn how to get denied, how to be told no, how to hear what you don't want to hear back. And the sooner you can do that, the more freedom you have, because high risk, high reward. High risk also, like, bad things could happen too. So just be wise. And then the last one is have certainty in your identity and mission all the time. Have certainty on who you are and what you want to do. Think about that every single day, because like you can call it gravity, you can call it the devil, you can call it just the nature of society, survival of the fittest, but there's always going to be something in the world that's going to be pushing you down, trying to make you think that you don't know who you are, that you're not as great as you think you are, that you don't have a purpose, that you don't have a plan for your life, that you're not going to be amazing. All these things that are constantly bringing you down. I like to see it as gravity, because it's nice to know it's not as malicious as like a devil, but there's something against you. Therefore, you need to use your willpower to fight for what you know to be true. And if you don't know to be true, then I would say press into God, because like the Bible says, God has a purpose and a plan for your life, that you are beautifully and wonderfully made, that I don't know where it says this, but the Bible's like says stuff like you're destined for greatness. You can't accomplish anything. You can do anything through God that gives you strength. Get that stuff puffed up, like blown up in your head, so that you know that you're amazing. You know that you're destined to do something phenomenal. You know that you can impact people. You can inspire people. You can be the first person in your family, in your family bloodline, to do something this amazing. You want to have that self-confidence and self-love, because no one's going to give it to you. No one's going to say, like, very few people have people in their life that are like, you got it. Keep going. I love you. Push yourself. You're going to do great. You're amazing. You're beautiful. Don't hate yourself. Like, not a lot of people have that. Therefore, you need to do it yourself. And I say this because I know how important it is, because I've known what it feels like to absolutely hate yourself. I know exactly what it feels like. I know what it feels like to wake up in the morning just disgusted to do another day at not knowing what to do with this day. And I'm not talking about time-wise. I'm just talking about living in my own skin. I know what it feels like to look in the mirror and hate my reflection, and not because like, not because of looks, but because of like, I don't like that person. I don't like who you are. And those moments teach you a lot. It teaches you how you're so ineffective. You're so like, you just hate others. You hate life. You're angry at the world. You don't want to believe in God because you just look at yourself and you're like, I don't like that. But over time, I had to get out of that. We all have to get out of that. We have to know our reality, face it, and do our best to fight against that which is bringing us down and go back to who we know we are. Whether it's one good thing that your mom told you that you hold on to be true, then you ride that out. And if you need more to know who you are, like, press into faith. Be around better people that can spot the greatness in you, because it's there. But like, you know yourself. No one knows yourself better than you know yourself. You know your own strengths. If you set aside the false humility of, oh, I don't want to talk about why I'm all this and why I'm all that, no one's listening to you, what's going on in your head anyway. So hype yourself up. Because again, this gravity, this negative force, it's strong. Therefore, you have to come after it every single day. I love myself. I'm destined for greatness. I'm going to help people. God has a plan and a purpose for my life, and nothing is going to stop me from being who I am destined to be. You need to tell yourself stuff like that every single day, because you can't give space for anything else. Because as soon as you let a little lie stick in your head, all of a sudden you hate yourself. And if you hate yourself, you can't love others. If you can't love others, then you're pretty much a purposeless space. We got to love others. We got to love ourselves. And knowing your mission. Simply, if you don't have a mission, your mission most likely contributes to helping the next generation in some capacity. And if it doesn't, then try to make it that way. Because the next generation is going to need a lot of extra tender love and care. It's going to be a generation that doesn't really have a stable mom and dad. Most people are divorced or never got married, or just not like a classic old-fashioned family. And some have a lot of changing living situations. So this next generation, we don't really understand the needs they met, because society has been progressing a lot, but with technology, society's really changed. Therefore, that which the next generation needs is going to be very unique. Therefore, we have to be educated and on top of what we know we need to do to help those that are coming next. And for me, that's why I love being around jiu-jitsu, because I think that's a very, very direct way to help the next generation, like one by one. Faith. Believe in something greater than yourself so that you can extend those lessons to the next generation. Being involved with your friends that have children and getting around children. Like, what is your plan to in some way contribute to helping the next generation? Health, fitness, financially, mentally, spiritually, energetically. There's so many ways that you can do that. And therefore, figure out what that is. Everyone has their own story too. Therefore, if you've had a drug issues problem in your past and you got out of it, bam, now you know what it's like to relate to those people, but you know how to get out of it. Or drinking, if you used to be a bad alcoholic but you got out of that, now you know how to connect with alcoholics and you can go tell your story and help them. Whatever it is, there's people that need what you know. Therefore, make that your mission, and you will be rewarded through joy, through love by God, through blessings, once you put others first and make it a priority to help others win. And that is my 11 lessons that I've learned since being, since for a year, from 21 to 22. I expected that video to be a little bit shorter, but I can't help but get into these topics when it really hypes me up. And it's really, really cool to just really sit down and think about what you've learned in a year. And I highly suggest whenever your birthday is next, take some time to reflect and contemplate what you learned, what you want to change, what you want to do better, what you are proud of that you accomplished. Like, deep dive on yourself, because no one needs to know you better than you. No one needs to love you better than you first. And then once you establish that self-love, that peace, then anything else that comes next in your life is just going to be a lot better. But birthdays are significant. I think that they should be as significant as mine are every year. I try to do something really special because birthdays are so special. And here's another thing. It was more of my bonus that has nothing to do specifically with the 11 lessons that I learned from being 22. But I've been wanting to share this for a while. So there is 3 predicted ways on how we're going to die in 2030. There's the top 3 ways on how we're living now that predicts how we're going to die in the future. So in 20 years, or in 10 years, when I'm 31, weird, 3 top ways that people will be dying is through HIV and AIDS, depressive disorders, and heart disease. So in 10 years, the most common ways to die is going to be HIV and AIDS, depression, disorders, and heart disease. What's most mind-blowing about these 3 things is they're all preventable right now. They're all preventable through lifestyle changes. Therefore, going back to maybe how this would connect. This should be your mission right here, to contribute to one of these three things, and having an opinion on it is a very effective way to literally fight a battle, to fight a war. Back then we fought wars to save people. Now we're like fighting morals. It's like a moral issue. People are clearly having a moral issue because HIV and AIDS is sex. If you don't have proper values and principles to sex, then you're going to be screwed. That's number one. Therefore, the message that everyone should be kind of promoting, if you do find this fascinating, is safe sex, not sleeping around, not hyping up this hookup culture. That needs to change, because that's also been kind of a newly trending thing, because back when my parents or my aunties and uncles, like in their time, it wasn't about hookup culture. It was about family. It was about freedom. Like my auntie, I asked her if she hoed around when she was younger, and she was just like, oh no, absolutely not. Just with who she was married with, which that's not hoeing around. I mean, okay, sorry. I know I shouldn't use that word, but my auntie, she's kind of like that wild free bird. So you could understand if that's what she was like when she was younger, but the moral issues started in the past, like 15 years. I would say, I think 20 years ago, especially when technology evolved an insane amount. And now we're watching a lot of TV shows that put on a lot of bad values and principles on our head. But what people don't realize is these moral issues or hookup culture, it's not starting at 18, 17, 18 or 16, 17, 18. It's starting at 13. 14, starting at 12, 13, 14. But we're so disconnected from this new coming generation that you don't know that stuff. Depressive disorders. We should all be contributing to healthier conversations, to not being so private and isolated, to where it's not proper to ask these deep questions because you're invading their personal space. Invade their personal space, because I'm sure they're dying to be asked how they're doing. That's like probably one of my biggest pet peeves, is when people tell me like I'm a lot, or I really like came at someone, was in their face and was asking them a bunch of questions. And I'm like, well, that's because at the end of the day, we are all trying to be seen and to express ourselves and to be noticed, quite simply, to survive. Therefore, we should be more invasive into each other's life and look at someone in the eyes, our best friends, our the people we see on the daily. How are you doing? Are you okay? Are you struggling? Your habits look different today. You seem like you were displaying odd behavior this past hour. Like, are you good, are you fine, are you all right, is stuff going on with your family, are you using again, are you eating properly? That is necessary and needed. Never let anyone tell you you're too much or invasive for that, because that's literally one way to save someone's life. What if you looked at someone in the eyes the day that they were going to do something stupid and just say, I love you so much, and I hope you know that my life would not be the same without you. It could change the trajectory and the plans of their life or of what they were going to do that could have affected so much. What if you encounter someone the day that they're going to use a drug with fentanyl in it and they don't realize it, and you're just like, hey, let's hang out at the gym extra long and do something kind of extreme, or let's go on a hike. Be spontaneous. Put yourself out there. Take risks. Say more than you should sometimes, because right now it's not about being proper and doing what makes sense and doing what is right. It's about saving people, because people are killing themselves. And that should literally trigger us to where every single person is like, who do I know that could be part of this large majority, large statistic? Because I do not want to know anyone that goes through that. Therefore, we should all be rather invasive with each other. You should check in with your circle. If people are showing obvious signs that they're crying for help, that they're dying for someone to help them, then be that someone, because people aren't getting a clue quick enough. They're not. People aren't realizing, oh, this person needs help. I hope they get through it. We need to be invasive, and we need to start seeing our friends like they're our brothers, like they're our sisters, that they're someone that we're fighting for. And we need to see ourselves that way too. Like, if you've ever been responsible for taking care of someone that you love, whether you're babysitting or had a sibling or was a caretaker for an elder, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you're like attentive to every single detail. A loved one you have gets sick, you're attentive to every single detail, making sure they don't get cold, making sure that they're not stressed, making sure they're comfortable. You need to have that same intense love for the people in your life. your circle, and even those you don't love, if you can connect with your soul enough, you'll get that tug and you'll know just what to do if you learn how to listen to your soul. Because it's an issue. We are all able to literally fight a battle. Like war, there's no war like that in America, in California. It's not everyone learn how to use a gun and we're just gonna come up on the battlefield and fight and kill until we win. No, it's literally like mind. It's okay, don't sleep with literally everyone you want. You don't want your count really high. You don't want to have sex with more people than what's healthy and realistic. Like that should not be the goal. You're not entitled to that. Because according to this statistic, in the future, people are going to be dying from having sex with one of the wrong people, and all of a sudden you get a disease where you die. Like that's heartbreaking. That's literally how you are on the battlefield, is if you contribute to that message, if you contribute to mental health, to having a strong mind, to speaking life over each other and providing different activities that aren't drug-based, drug-focused, numbing yourself, escaping reality. That's literally how you fight these wars, fight these battles, because that's how people are dying. And then the last one is heart disease. People are dying from heart disease, and literally the way you can prevent that is from freaking working out. So therefore, I truly think that personal trainers are the heroes of now and the future. Personal trainers are saving lives also because they're therapists and personal trainers. They're uncertified therapists. You talk through things together as you're moving. It's the most healing and therapeutic thing to work out and talk. It's something that I love to do, which is why I usually spend a lot longer than an hour at the gym. But those three things, if you don't have a mission, I just gave it to you. Contribute to people not being super sexually crazy. Contribute to mental health, having a strong mind, and depression, and whatever kind of methods you know that could help depression. Holistic nutrition, proper activities that could prevent that. Even promoting ways for people to have maybe more affordable psychology sessions and therapy sessions and treatment to fix those things. And then lastly, get people working out. Every single person should be working out without a doubt. I don't care who you are, because I love you. You should be working out every single day, or maybe 3 to 4 times a week. Even if it starts off with being a walk, even if it starts with a little bit of movement, because our hearts are valuable. And the greatest way to give our hearts attention is literally movement, cardio. Start off with a walk. But every single person should be walking. So contribute to that message. And that was my little bonus right there. This was a whole lot of information, but if you got through the whole thing, I hope it settles right in your spirit. I hope that you were able to feel more prepared being in your early 20s or applying these lessons in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and just realizing that we just got to keep getting better every single day, elevating, learning from what we can learn. No matter what we go through, everything is a lesson. We are meant to be students until the day we die and our life experience comes to an end. But yeah, so I'm super happy to be 22. My goal right now is to just be on top of it with this podcast and continue to get doors opened to impact and show some love to the next generation, as well as just being able to bring people on the show that could help the next generation. So I'm super thankful for this space to do so. Thank you for listening. If you got to the end of the show, continue to elevate, continue to grow, continue to do what you have to do to be the best and truest version of yourself. Thank you for listening. Wait, comment, like, subscribe to the show, and repost, share to your friends to grow the show. Have an absolutely lovely day, and I will see you when I see you.